New Order, here to stay on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
We're here to stay.
Yeah.
Over the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Steve Merchant
there.
Hello
there.
We're with our producer here, Carl Pilkington. We'll be talking to Carl a little bit later because we've got to have his thoughts on Aesop's Fables, continuing the education of Carl. We've got some great music coming up, haven't
Bloody
we?
Good music.
A little bit of, what have we got? Like Happy Mondays.
Badly Drawn Boy.
Yeah, all that. Bob Dylan.
All sorts.
All sorts. Coming up.
So yeah, Rick, I don't know, I just wanted to bring your attention to this. Someone passed this on to me. It's from the Guardian's media website. There's a sort of website that's dedicated to kind of media information.
Is this about our complaint?
Well, the headline is Comedian Rapped Over Radio Innuendo.
Right.
Jessica Hodgson has written the article. Well, are you familiar with this?
Have
you
well,
seen
be
this?
Careful now, because we actually got a complaint, and a lot of people don't know this, we got a complaint upheld, and
well, all of this is
we're very sorry, we didn't mean to offend, and it was a while ago, so we are going to be very careful. Carl's getting very nervous. We're just going to read out. We're not going to editorialise, Carl. We're just going to read out what The Guardian printed about us, all right? Okay.
Comedian Ricky Gervais has had a dressing down from a broadcasting watchdog for his repeated use of the word cock in a lunchtime radio show.
That's what it says, Carl. He's not going to say it again.
News.
Go on. Imagine
this is the news, and I'm reading it.
Yeah.
The Broadcasting Standards Commission upheld a complaint against the comedian for coarse sexual innuendo in the programme on London station XFM. The commission acknowledged that the presenter's remarks were intended to be humorous, but took the view that the amount and detail of the coarse sexual innuendo had exceeded acceptable boundaries for broadcast, said the BSC in a statement. The complaint objected to a section in the comics Saturday afternoon show when he discussed the different meanings of the word cock. Gervais wondered aloud whether the word was acceptable when discussing birds, but not the male sexual organ. A BSC spokesman said the comedian went on and on about it for nearly 5 minutes. XFM, a self-styled alternative radio station, said in its defence that its remit was to provide cutting-edge programmes for a youth audience. The station said the programme's brief was to include elements of alternative comedy within certain shows that would not fit within a more mainstream radio station format. In this particular show, it was not the presenter's intention to shock when they took a humorous look at how the English language could be construed in different ways within different contexts. Gervais, whose big break was on Channel 4's 11 o'clock show, has shot to household status through the portrayal of David Brent, the middle manager from hell in BBC Two's cult show, The Office.
Just in case you didn't know who I was talking about.
Yeah, he's a household name, but they just thought
you might not have heard of him, but he is a household name.
Now, that's good. That's good reporting, and they're quite right about it. And just to remind people, it was when Steve said the only bird that hasn't got a penis is the swan, and I went on about the male bird being called the cock, but I couldn't use that to mean, and, you know, it was childish, you know. But what annoys me is, I'm sure I've heard things on, like, Radio 1 like that. Oh, what's what's her name in the morning, Sarah?
Cox.
Yeah, and there's a DJ, like Carl,
Cox?
Yeah, so you've got... Carl, what's the matter? I'm just saying.
You're just saying...
There's a pair of... DJs on,
yeah, but
you know.
We've done this.
And,
what are you talking about? We're just talking about
names. They're just saying the names. Now, I love Cox in the morning.
You're a big fan of Cox.
And at night. What's the matter with you?
Come on, Carl.
All
right. We've taken it. We've been. Have you actually been rapped over this?
No, I don't know what.
Have you had a dressing down?
No.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
I was meant to tell you, and I never got round to it.
Okay. Thanks, then.
So don't do it again.
Pinky Afro on XFM 104.9.
Oh,
can I just add that in case you don't know what you know the frequency is?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did they say that? I think that's so you know what you listen to. So you go, I tell you what, I like that radio station.
Yeah,
and it was XFM 104.9.
Exactly, exactly.
I listen to that again.
You listen to that, you can retune.
Yeah,
I was wondering actually, Rick.
Locked up this end of the dial.
True enough. I was wondering, because, you know, obviously we're still trying to campaign to get Carl into the air.
Yeah.
With the balloon enterprise, and obviously the work's been done on that, don't fret, don't worry. A lot of people are asking for an update, but, you know, we'll obviously let you know when it's all going to take place.
Yeah.
But I was wondering
these
whether...
These things take time.
Exactly, but I was wondering whether we should also have another kind of campaign, some kind of campaign, maybe one that could involve you, Rick. Because I'm particularly concerned, Carl, I don't know how familiar you are with this, with Ricky's eating habits.
Mm.
Because he eats so unhealthily.
No,
it scares you. No, come on, Rick, don't give me this.
No, I'm getting better now.
No, you're not getting better.
I have a smoothie every day.
Yeah, but I've told you before, that's largely sugar.
No, a homemade one.
I don't care, Rick. That's not enough. It can't counteract, right? This is Ricky Gervais's idea of healthy eating, right? We'll be in the canteen at the BBC. He'll go, I'm going to be eat healthy today, which means he'll have two slices of pizza instead of pizza and chips. That's basically that's his theory, right? And it's like, I don't know what, because he can't eat anything which is kind of, basically doesn't sting the roof of his mouth. With flavour. So like, for instance, he's always got headaches, Okay, like, that's because you just drink coffee and Coke, you never drink water, your body is dehydrated. And I said, drink a glass of water, no, boring. It's boring, Vore. I don't know if we were in the desert, stranded, boring. It's boring, Steve, I'll wait till the next cafe. Right, and sometimes he'll go like, oh, I'll have a salad, right? He'll get like a feta cheese salad, right? And he'll eat the little bits of feta cheese, leave the salad. Then he goes downstairs and goes, I'm still hungry. It didn't fill me up, that salad. I go, no, what didn't fill you up was the 200 milligrams of goat cheese that you ate. That's what didn't fill you up. So I just, this should be a campaign. I don't know whether I can observe it, people could sponsor him, something. Just eat healthy, we could do it for some kind of big charity. I don't think the fruit's the issue,
Rick. Okay, if you mash it, I'll eat anything.
Rick, I'm not saying that you don't eat a certain amount of fruit. I'm saying that everything else you eat is unbalanced, and it's just rich with fat, and it's awful.
Yeah.
It's sausages, it's beans. You're such a working-class scum, aren't you? It's the smell of chip fat. It's all around him. Do you know what I mean? It's like, even when you can't smell it, you know it's there, seeping through his veins. I imagine when he was growing up, it was just chip fat.
It was.
In the house, just a big...
It was.
All constantly boiling.
It always... There was always chips on with everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, all fried.
Do you want Weetabix in the morning? Deep fat, fry that. It's such scum. And now it's like, oh yeah, my palate, you know, I can't eat anything. It's got no flavour. Everything's got to have cheese on it. Sprinkling Parmesan cheese. More Parmesan cheese. And if someone, like, doesn't give him, like, a whole tub of Parmesan cheese when you're in a restaurant, even though he's ordered, like, a lobster or whatever, it's like, he sort of has a go at the waiter, or, like, not to their face, obviously he's too much of a coward, but he'll say to me, like, he should have left the cheese, he said, cheat with the cheese, they don't give me any cheese. He just gave you three bucketfuls. Oh, it's a cheese, I should. More cheese here. It's pathetic.
Oh,
so I just think we should do something to, because I'm panicked, I'm worried,
well,
you know?
I started working out a little bit. I sort of work out twice or three times a week.
I don't think that's going to counteract it, Rick.
And I drink water through the night when I wake up and I'm dehydrated.
From all the booze you've just drunk.
Yeah, and I have a smoothie in the morning, don't I?
You know what my views are on the smoothies. I don't think that's counteracting.
You're Andy Smoothie. Andy Smoothie.
And I don't think it's counteracting all the other
you
problems.
You have got a problem. There's nothing wrong with the smoothie.
Right, fine. Okay, well, if you're happy to carry on as you are.
Yeah, go on.
Badly Drawn Boy, obviously, has done the soundtrack
of
this new film, About a Boy.
Yeah.
Which has got Hugh Grant in it. And, obviously, this current single, what's it called, the current one that's out? Silent Sign, that's currently, obviously, that's being played on XFM. But this is another track from this album, which is the soundtrack. Lots of kind of, little bits of filler, bits of musical instrumental stuff, but all of it's very nice. This is a cracking tune, track 3, Something to Talk About.
Lovely.
Yeah, good tune that, I think. Sarah and Lauren have emailed in. They said they wanted something from Elliot Smith or maybe Jimmy Webb. That's actually produced by the producer of Elliot Smith. And
is that
a Smithinian?
I haven't brought any Jimmy Webb into that.
No, we'll bring me play that next time.
I'll play some next week.
That's Badly Drawn Boy, though, from the soundtrack to this film About a Boy, and that's called Something to Talk About.
We've only got the stuff in the library. Do they want Four Non-Blondes? Because we've got that in the library, haven't we?
Best of Tony Basil.
And we've got just about every song that INXS ever recorded.
Exactly. We don't play enough INXS, do
I
we?
Don't think we do, do we? No. I can't believe it. XFM 104.9 coming up. White Van Man. White
Carl.
Van Carl.
White Van Carl. I was obviously out with Carl last night.
Oh, yeah.
I realised this because we went out. There's, what's the name of that evening?
Marketplace. Extracurricular.
Extracurricular, yeah. Various XFM DJs go down there and just play an eclectic mix.
Just spin some tunes off.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of doing it in a couple of weeks, Rick. And obviously, you know my turntablist skills now are pretty. Yeah, something to behold.
Yeah.
And, I tell you this, what I did an amazing mix the other day with my friend Dan. We did.
Yeah.
We spent 2.5 hours on it. This is how we spend our evenings now. 2.5 hours mixing from a trip hop sort of hip hop style beat into Arthur's Theme by Christopher Cross.
Great.
When you get caught between the moon and New York.
Written by
City.
Four people.
Bacharach, yeah.
Carol Biasega, Christopher Cross, and a fourth one.
Absolutely.
Phone in
if you know that.
Maybe we should.
But
who knows the fourth person credited on that tune?
If anyone will prize
700, 800. 1, 2, 3, 4. Also, someone else to phone in. I saw an advert, right? Those advert toys. I think it must be. Is it because it's Easter holidays or something?
Right.
And I was watching that, and there's one of those transformer type things, and it goes in its shield. It strikes and then goes into its shield, and it goes into a little pod. And I'm sure it was called a Bolock.
Right.
Now I must have misheard it. There's no way you can call a little kid's toy a Bolock. So can you phone in? I'm quite willing to be wrong. It'd be very disappointing. But, you know, are people making little Bolocks for kids?
No. Yeah.
Oh, wait. 700, 800, 1234. And what was the other question?
The other question was who was the fourth person that wrote Arthur's theme.
Yeah.
When you get caught between the noon and New York City.
Crazy, but it's true. Yeah.
The only thing you can do is fall in love, Carl. Well, I was out with Carl last night, obviously party animal. You know, he's hanging out with some of my friends. You enjoyed yourself, didn't you, Carl?
It's all right.
But you were a bit worried about Jennifer Lopez, weren't you?
Yeah.
What was the concern?
I don't really know what's going on in the pop world.
You're joking.
No.
Go on.
And, I was here in the toilets, right? And I heard it playing out on the speaker, and I heard the DJ go, there you go, that's, Left Eye Lopez there.
That's not...
And I thought, it's Jennifer Lopez.
No, it's the
actually had some sort of eye injury.
You thought he was breaking the news of Jennifer Lopez losing an eye by calling her Left Eye Lopez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Don't worry, we put him right, it's okay.
Yeah.
Slept easy.
Yeah.
But you were worried for a while, weren't you? You were anxious for a while.
I had no idea, and the thing is, I heard that on, like, Thursday, so for, like, 3 days I've been thinking...
You've been panicking.
Why she called that? Because she changed her name before, hadn't she, to J-Lo or something.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know...
Yeah.
Has she got some people after her? Does she owe someone money? Keep changing her name.
That was Wobbly Gabrielle and Rise.
Anyway, more music, mate?
Oh, I'd love to.
So, yeah,
what have you got lined up there, Carl?
Beta Band.
I'm loving this, Steve. It's a lovely day.
Yep. We're playing some great music.
We're playing some great tunes, aren't we?
Absolutely.
We're having some great chat.
Yeah.
So let's carry on.
Well, obviously, Carl was out with me last night, and he saw that I'm, you know, he knows I'm a ladies' man, and that was obvious. Carl, you could see the vibe around me, couldn't you? Mm. When the chicks were talking to me, and just remembered recently, actually, I was on a train coming back from hometown Bristol. And I was on the train, and this girl walks on, good-looking girl. I thought, hey, up. Largely empty carriage. I'm thinking, my luck's in. You know, because I take every opportunity, Carl. That's the thing about me. You know, I don't choose. She was a good-looking girl. She sat down. I thought, she sat down right near me. I thought, brilliant. As this guy comes up behind her, and she's, I think, oh, it's probably a boyfriend or something, sits down next to her. And I listened in on the conversation, you know, because I'm pretending to read. It was very clever. I read the same page for hours. I was pretending to listen. I was listening, but pretending to read. And I realised that it's not her boyfriend or anything. It's just some guy she's met on the platform. And I'm thinking, brilliant, if she's the kind of girl who's just going to start talking to someone, you know, on a platform, on a train, brilliant, I'm going to be in here. Because he was only going one stop. So I'm thinking, what's the worst that can happen? It'll nick off, you know, I'll get chatting to her, you know, and who knows, I could join the... is there a train equivalent? The foot high club, brilliant. And so I'm excited, you know, I'm listening in. And it turns out that they're both kind of graduates, they've just finished university, or they're coming to the finals or something. And they're chatting away, you know, and he's making a couple of witticisms, you know. And she's kind of tittering at his jokes. I'm thinking, well, I'll tell you this, if she's laughing at this kind of material, I am going to blow her away, you know, with my kind of anecdotes and wry observations, you know.
Yeah.
It was weak stuff, I got to be honest.
Really?
He was coming out with nothing. He was running on empty, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And she was loving it. So I'm thinking, brilliant, I'm going to be right in here. And then they get moving on to higher brave things, you know, and I think she was going to study kind of Marxism or something like that, or communism, something. And she was asking him, you know, by way of conversation, she was asking him what he knew about Marxism, you know. Mm. And he was fumbling for some of his vague knowledge of it that he had in his life. And I'm just sat there thinking, yeah, come on, love, in any given capitalist environment, the proletariat will revolt against their oppression by the bourgeoisie, and after a brief period of socialist rule, emerge as a classist society governed by community corporations.
Well, if that sort of talk wouldn't get a woman hot,
If Marx and Engels is not going to get a woman sweaty down below, I'm just going to go in for the kill any minute.
So anyway, it
comes to his stop, right? He gets up. I'm thinking, this is a piece of cake. And he gets off, and off he goes. He walks off. And I'm thinking, brilliant. I'll wait till the train's pulled away. I'm not going to leap in straight away.
No.
And he comes back along the carriage. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. He goes, listen, do you mind if I give you my email address?
Aww.
Right? And if you want to get in touch, email me. I'm thinking, come on, you loser. Get off now. Save your face. Please, before it's too embarrassing. She accepts the email address because she obviously doesn't want to hurt his feelings, whatever. I'm thinking, fair enough, she's a good woman, I'm liking her. I'm thinking, that's my kind of girl. So anyway, he gets off. I'm sat there, the train pulls away. I'm thinking, yeah, I'll wait a few minutes, you know, I'll just, you know, give it some time. Her phone rings, it's her friend on the phone. And she starts to, and I was listening in, and she was going, yeah, just met a guy on the train. I'm thinking, yeah, that's true enough. She goes, yeah, he was a good-looking guy. I thought, you're having a laugh, love. To be honest. Because I was looking at him, and she said to her friend, he looks a bit like tennis player Boris Becker. I thought, well, you should be so lucky. frankly, because I saw him. He had awful facial hair, if that's what makes him look like Boris Becker. Terrible little goatee beard. It was laughable. I thought, I don't know. And then she goes to the thing, and she's like, yeah, I met him, we got chatting and stuff. And, you know, and she was going, it's not often that you meet someone, you know, generally in life, who's, you know, kind of thoughtful and intelligent and funny. I thought to myself, I'm not even going to waste my time with you, love. Frankly, if that's what you thought of him.
You just walked away.
And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even bother talking to her.
No, you were just
above it. I didn't even waste my time with
her. If she thinks that bloke is not only great looking, but funny and intelligent, and she got on well, and he was polite, and it was a chance meeting, and he thought, and she thought that you were like a freaky looking dog who didn't even have the nerve to speak.
That is what she thinks. I don't want to know it.
I couldn't. You walked away, and good luck to you.
And I have my dignity intact.
Yes, and she's nothing.
Travis, Flowers in the Window on XFM 104.9. Well, coming to that time where we do White Van Man.
Absolutely, with producer Carl.
And Carl's also going to be telling us his slant on fables, on Aesop.
Absolutely.
I was out with Carl. I know I shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, I broke the rule as well.
I know. Well, I was out with him the night before, I think. And we were just chatting. And as you know, we're going to Edinburgh for a week.
Yeah, that's all three of us.
That's all three of us, yeah.
It wasn't, I just wondered for a minute if there was some arrangement you two had made. Like next weekend, just popping up there seeing the sights.
Yeah. No, we're going to do a week's broadcasting from the Edinburgh Festival. And, you know, and Carl's going, I bet you lie in, don't you, and all this. And I was going, well, yeah. He's going, well, he wants to be up at 9:30 and out looking at the sights, you know what I mean? Yeah. But anyway, and I said, have you ever had haggis? And he went, it's black pudding in it. I went, no, it's mince. He went, I like mince. I went, yeah, but wait, it's mince in a sheep's stomach, right? And he went, what, they force feed a sheep, then kill it? Imagine that, Carl.
It makes sense, though, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't make sense. Well, they force feed a sheep mince, and then kill it, till its stomach's nice and full, and they go, oh, if this one's full, kill it, before it starts digesting it. Of course they don't. It's a membrane, they've... And the other one, he was talking about, like, he likes Richmond Park. He goes, I like to see all the deers. I went, it's deers, plural, you don't need to say... Deers. I try and educate whenever I can.
What's that one? I said, the deer is already bull.
Yeah, deer is bull. I said, you know, like sheep or fish. So you can say fishes. And we were laughing at us. I said, do you know the plural of mongoose? Because a lot of people think it would be mongoose. It's not. It's mongooses. Do you know what Carl said?
Plural of mongoose.
Mongoose, yes.
Plural of mongoose.
It's worth a competition. No, it's not. No.
No, go on.
Carl, what did you think the plural of mongoose was?
Mongs.
Play a record after this White Van Man.
Do you want to play,
Oh, let's play a bit of Dylan, yeah. This is a beautiful track. It's Just Like a Woman. Well, I think that's a beautiful record. It's by Bob Dylan, and it's Just Like a Woman. And... Carl went, he's got his headphones on, so he's speaking a bit loud.
The harmonica's playing.
In a whiny Manx accent, when the harmonica's going, that's an annoying sound, Matt, isn't it?
God.
Oh, bless
Bob Dylan there. An annoying sound there.
Did you hear about...
The annoying sound of Bob Dylan, that could be a new album.
Yeah.
Just that sort of sound always reminds me of a one-man band.
Yeah.
Have you heard the story about Leo Sayer with his song One Man Band?
No.
Years ago, what year was... Oh, God.
I'm in the mood for dancing?
What's the song that he did about a one-man
band?
I'm
a one-man band, it was called.
Right, yeah.
Funnily enough.
Yeah,
go on.
He did that, one-man band, and he was playing it at the Dominion Theatre.
Yeah.
And apparently, whenever he played, he sort of sang this song, he got the audience involved, and the line in it was, I'm a one-man band.
Nobody knows or understands. Is there anybody there can lend me a hand to my one-man band?
He said that, and what he used to do, he used to reach out and grab people's hands, and then he'd walk down the middle. Anyway, he said, well, anyone lend me a hand? He stuck his hand out, grabbed like a hand, and was walking down, everyone looked horrified, and some woman who had like a plastic hand, it had come off. And he was walking down the middle of like Dominion Theatre with his plastic hand in his hand. And he said, oh, that's a moment I won't forget.
He knows how to tell a story, Leo Sayer.
Right, well, it's time for White Van Man, which is where... We ask Carl the questions that the sun asks someone else.
Exactly.
It's an article in there where they ask them, you know, typical man on the street, the big questions of the day, gives them their platform to the nation, and we think this is just too good to let out, because we only care about one person's opinion in the country now.
That's true enough, he's the K-man, and there he is.
There he is, right.
Carl, your thoughts, please, on Kylie Minogue slagging off Britney Spears for ignoring her fans at her premiere. Are you aware of that story?
No.
She got booed at her premiere of her new film, Britney, because she'd left her fans waiting for like an hour. Some of them had travelled up from Bristol, other parts of the country.
3,000 of them.
Loads of them screaming for her. She just went straight into the theatre an hour late, just gave them a quick wave and straight in. Didn't even bother to shake their hands, sign any autographs. So they were booing.
What do you think of that, Carl?
And Kylie's obviously said that was actually outrageous, you know, and you should treat your fans with respect. What do you make of it?
So she did wave, right?
Yeah, but literally as she was walking into the theatre.
Was it raining?
No, I don't think it was.
He's like a defence lawyer.
Yeah.
Who hasn't really read the brief.
He's just winging it.
Judge's first, was it raining? No. I was relying on that. Was she
running late for the start of the film?
Yes, but that's her own fault. I mean, the people are inside. They're not going to start the film without her. It's Britney Spears.
Yeah.
She could take some time out. You know, when Tom Cruise came here, he spent like an hour and a half shaking people's hands, talking to people on their mobile phones, all sorts. That's Tom Cruise. He's a bigger name than Britney.
I know, but...
He's a smaller person, but he's a bigger name.
What do people want from people? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
an autograph, point. Things like that, a photo.
This one's going nowhere, Steve. Is there another one?
Fair enough.
It's not bad. If she had more time, she might have done it. I bet she would have done it on another day. I mean, I'm not feeling too good today.
But you can still take time out to sign people's autographs, surely, when you leave the building.
Yeah, there's always a bit of a crowd, isn't there?
Next.
Go on. What do you make of New York's ex-police chief saying we need more bobbies on the beat? He's come over here, he's the guy that sorted out crime in New York City. He's come over here, he said, you're going all over the place here. Mm. You need more bobbies on the beat, not more policemen, more a visible police presence.
There was something last week about some copper in London who was sat on a bench, and he was asleep or something. Yeah. And people were, like, outraged because, like, he should be looking after, you know, England's people, not nodding off on a park bench. Which is a bit daft because...
They were shouting he should be looking after England's people.
Yeah. Was this
was this the 16th century you went back to? What do you mean, he should be looking after England's people?
You know, wherever he was, if he was in, like, a park somewhere,
yeah.
they were really annoyed because he was asleep. But
sure. He'd probably be undercover.
But the thing is, if there would have been any trouble, I'm sure he would have woke up.
Yeah.
If there was any sort of... If someone needed help and he screamed, he would have woke up. So I don't know why they were having a go at him.
Yeah. And he might not have been there at all. So, you know, it was... You know, so...
Yeah.
He probably have his radio turned on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Listening to Heart.
So you're not concerned then that there's not... The crime's going up?
I think there's enough. I see quite a lot of them whizzing around.
Okay. You're happy then?
Yeah.
As long as you're happy, Carl.
So you don't think it's too much crime?
No.
Just the right amount. Just the right amount of crime.
Yeah.
What about the fact that new gambling laws give Blackpool the green light to become a British Las Vegas? What do you make of that? Are you a gambler?
A little bit. When I go on holiday, I like going in the arcade and having a little flutter.
Sure.
What's your favourite?
I have a go on the, you know, the fruit machines.
Yeah.
There's a good one called The Simpsons.
Right.
Is that your favourite?
Yeah, it's quite good.
Is that a tie-in with the TV show The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will he make Blackpool the next Vegas? I don't think so.
No,
I don't see it happening.
No. You been to Blackpool?
Yeah.
What was it?
It's a bit rank.
Is it?
It is a bit rough. Needs a lot of work doing on it.
Yeah.
No, that won't happen.
Okay.
And you're not worried about this encouraging gambling, generally? Gambling's not a vice you're concerned about.
If you're a gambler, you're a gambler. Do you know what I mean? If Blackpool isn't done up, they'll go somewhere else to have a flutter.
Sure.
So it's not going to make any difference.
Okay.
No.
Okay, it's really good. And what do you make of the So Solid crew's Ashley Walters being jailed for 18 months? Obviously not a very good example to his young fans.
He should have got more.
Do you think?
I had a dream about him the other night.
Go on.
About the group itself.
Okay.
I had a dream that...
Were they all there? Because there's a lot of them. I couldn't remember all their faces. The feature in a dream.
I had a T-shirt on.
He had etc.
I had a T-shirt on.
You had a T-shirt on?
Yeah, and it said on my T-shirt, So Solid Poo. And I was walking down the street and they came towards me.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing.
I love that. We've all had that anxiety dream. Oh my goodness. What if I meet the So Solid crew and I'm wearing a t-shirt that slags them off?
Oh, I don't believe it. Yeah. You know, yeah.
So what happened? Did you get beaten up?
It was one of them where I woke up. Do you know, I've been telling you that I keep getting them things where you feel like you're falling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the same sort of thing.
You know, I'm not a real psychiatrist, don't you? You should, you know what I mean?
You do know a lot about a lot.
Yeah, I do. Thanks very much.
And, you know, if I'm at home talking to Suzanne about something and I don't know the answer, I think, well, I'll ask Ricky that one soon.
Yeah, thanks.
But you know that, I think you might mention before, that apparently if you die in a dream, it means that you're dying in real life.
Yeah, well, that's it, if you don't...
But apparently if you get beaten up by the So Solid crew in a dream, it means you're being beaten up by them in real life.
Yeah, that is true.
And you probably work a lot of people have been doing this.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
So, yeah, lock him up for longer.
Okay. Finally, what do you make of Halle Berry becoming the first black woman to win the Best Actress Oscar? Did you see her speech?
Got on my nerves.
Did it?
I mean, you know, it's good that she won. You know, it's nice for anyone to win an award.
Yeah.
But she did go on a bit. And, you know, I've been in that same sort of position.
What? Claiming an Oscar?
Well, I got, what they used to do at school is,
okay.
If you did a full month without being off, you got a gold certificate.
Okay.
And I did a month once without having a day off.
Sure.
And I went up, and I didn't make a fuss.
You didn't start crying.
Got a play record, mate.
Well done, then. Were you the first kid in your school to do that?
I don't think anyone else got the certificate. It was only because I was never in. They tried to encourage me.
It was just for you. They might have done the entire ceremony just to encourage you.
Wise words there from Bella Sebastian on XFM 104.9. I'm Richard Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Well, I mean, it is indeed wise words, Rick. I'm worried that people are going to get out of the office now and into the sunshine and not be listening to the show.
There's always the transistor radio.
That's true enough.
Indeed, heading
down to the park. Take it along.
It is time.
Keep it low, though. Don't want to irritate other people.
No, yeah. And if you do want to irritate them, spit on them. It's better.
Exactly.
Kick them and throw little rocks.
Exactly.
With me, Carl Kamen Pilkington. We are now... We're into this way into the second month of the education of Carl. As you know, Carl got one GCSE in history, an E, and we've been cramming, haven't we?
Before you mention that, can I just say something? Obviously, we always do this thing with the Sun, White Van Man, where we read this thing out from the Sun and query Carl. And I was out with some friends last night, and my friend Dan always listens to the show, and he said, Carl, I love the bit when you answer questions in the Sun. Why do you ever know what the questions are before they're asked, or is that your first answer? And Carl said, no, that is it. They don't let me see what the questions are first. They don't show them to me, and I always get really anxious and really get really paranoid. And I was just wondering, have you seen the error there, Carl? Have you seen the mistake you've been making? Right? You're worried that you didn't get the questions beforehand, right?
Well, How could you combat that if you're really nervous, coming
Maybe you wanted to sort of have some views or ideas beforehand?
It's your error, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's your show if you want to, take a chance with me.
No, the point is this, that if you're really worried about it, how could you get hold of those questions in advance? Is there any way you could get hold of those questions in advance?
Yeah, but is it always in today's? Is it always in Saturdays?
Yes.
So they don't do that every day of the week?
They do, but I always take it from this Saturday.
Right, well, yeah, I could, but that would cost me money. I'm not on enough as it is working here on a Saturday.
Okay.
How much is the Sun?
30p.
Yeah, well...
You're not made of money.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 40p on a Saturday. I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, you were studying Aesop's Fables, weren't you, this week? Now I'm going to be very liberal here. And let you talk about it. It's not a test. I'm not, hey man, just chill out. I'm not this rigid sort of, boxing society. Just tell us your views. Just tell us your vibe on Aesop. Tell us something. What have you learnt from these fables?
He made a bit of money out of something that's quite simple.
I don't know if he did make any money out of it. I mean, I think it was published thousands of years after his death, but go on.
Yeah, they're just little stories. I mean, enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Didn't learn anything from them.
Okay. Or did you see? Because it's teaching through sort of metaphor and analogy, and maybe it all seeps in and it's all subliminal, and maybe in a way your subconscious is teaching you.
If the stories were done in a real way, that there's a man and a woman, and it's a little story that something happened to them in life, then you learn something. But it's all about, a gorilla and a fox are walking through the woods. How often does that happen?
Sure. So you're saying if it was more
if it was more true to life,
if it was more real
stories, a kid on his grifter and a magpie pecking at his head, or two frog boys with webbed hands. I mean, if it was real stories from real life
that people could believe, actually happened.
Maybe it would teach us something.
But why not do that? Take a real situation, say the So Solid crew guy,
yes,
going down for carrying a gun. Use that in some way. Do you know what I mean?
As a warning, maybe, about carrying guns?
What about something if you carry guns and that is illegal, you could have some sort of punishment.
Yeah, that's
good.
Good.
So, it doesn't bother you then that the fact that these fables have been used for many, many generations to educate maybe young children or even older people, the fact that they've served a brilliant function and they've become classics, that doesn't bother you? You've seen through them?
Well, they don't always work. Okay. When I was out with Rick the other day, he brought one up.
I told him the one about the two mice, the industrious mouse who... throughout the summer, he would be storing berries, nuts and berries, and he'd be storing it, and the other ones would just be eating off the trees and running around and having a laugh. And they go, well, you're going to become hungry. And they'd go, oh, I'll worry about that when it comes to it. And they'd do that, and he'd be storing his nuts and berries, and autumn came, and the mouse was still playing and not doing anything. And then winter came, and the silly mouse was, like, shivering. And he went and knocked on the mouse's door and went, I'm freezing and I'm starving. And the clever mouse said, well, I told you, didn't I? You know, you should have been storing your nuts through winter like I did. Come in and share mine. You know. And what did you say, Carl?
Well, and the moral of that is whatever.
Just be careful. But my thing is that it's not very good, because the moral of that is do what you want, and there's always a do-gooder, a share there.
Yeah, so right, sure.
Yeah.
But the way I, I think, which is more sort of 2002, the ending should have been, the guy with all the berries should have, I'll be all right come the winter. I've got loads of food, I'll be safe. But then, as he's going into his little hut, at the beginning of the winter, some sort of bus or something comes and kills him. Right. And it's like...
You should have partied hard, because you might die.
Yeah. Enjoy life whilst you've got it.
Yeah. Okay, and if winter comes, just starve to death.
Well, worry about tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm wondering if there's a new book here. I really am wondering if there's a Carl's fables.
He's been coming out with some all week. He keeps going, well, that's a fable, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's your favourite fable in there? Have you learned anything from this book? Is there one fable you liked?
Yeah, I mean, they're all alright.
What did you like?
You're throwing it on me now, there.
Didn't you like one about a crab, you said?
No, that was the one about messing about on a cliff edge or something. Mess about on a cliff edge.
What was that?
I don't know. There's not many around here, so I didn't take much interest in that one. You know what I mean?
God.
I'm doing my best here.
You don't remember any? Here's one that was quite nice. There was a belly, like your stomach.
Yeah.
And it's this belly on a pair of legs, and the legs were saying, I'm more important than you because I carry you around. And the belly said, yeah, but, if it weren't for me holding all this food, you wouldn't have the energy to walk around
here.
And that means, rather than working on your own, it's best to work in a team.
Yeah. So. Good. Well, the one similar to that I was taught when I was little was, a vision of heaven and hell, and it went down to hell, and in hell, right, there was these, people had like 20-foot long chopsticks,
yeah,
and they were getting their food, and they couldn't get the chopsticks into the food and get it round to their mouth because they were just too long,
right,
and that was hell. And in heaven, they had exactly the same thing, but they were feeding each other.
What?
You don't like Chinese food? Is that what you're thinking? Is that what your concern is, Carl?
No, I'm just...
the one I remember, and I can't remember the ending of it, it's about two nuns in a bath.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Or is it, are they on a bike?
That's two adventures, it's the same nuns, but they go to all sorts of adventures.
They're erotic adventures.
Well, they are, but there's one where they're driving down a cobbled street, I remember.
Go on.
And then there's the other...
Whale Veins on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me, Steve Merchant.
Hello.
And Carl. Well, Carl, I really don't think you got your teeth into the fables, really. I don't think you...
There wasn't anything to learn. I read a couple, thought, yeah, that's all right, and put it down again. There wasn't anything to learn. It was all stuff I knew already, but made up with nice little foxes and bears and stuff. So...
Yeah. But that one about, like... That's one we spoke about, when the hares are going, we should share all our food, and the lion said, that's a good argument, but it hasn't got the teeth and claws that we've got. That's lovely, because it's sort of like, that's an indictment on sort of, you could say it's an anti-equality almost, you could get really sort of deep into that, you know what I mean? You could, no?
Big philosophical ideas in a nutshell, not interesting?
No, not really.
Okay. Okay, then, well, you're going to hate this, then. I've brought in the Concise Oxford Dictionary of Quotations. Now, just look at some of your favourites. I'd suggest going to straight to things like Wilde or Newton or Churchill or
You're a big fan of Churchill.
He's the boy. Let's go through that old Cromer, blah blah. Newton, right? Here's a famous one. Okay, this is Isaac Newton. If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants.
Do you like that one?
So there's a meaning in it.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't actually stood on the shoulders of giants.
So remember, he's an amazing inventor and mathematician, and he discovered the incredible laws of the universe. And he's saying,
if you want a good view, move into a multi-story.
he's saying if I have seen further than the people, and he's being modest here, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants to get that view.
If it weren't for all the people that have come before him with their great insight and knowledge, he wouldn't have seen what he's seen.
He's taken his learnings, and those people have given him.
Why would you say that? Is they making up? That's what I've got a problem with. People don't
poetry,
say what they mean.
Poetry, art, and
life though, people never say what they actually mean, and you know, there's loads of books on it. I don't know.
But the point is that he's just summarised quite a tricky idea, beautifully.
It's beautiful. That gets into you much deeper than just the words, than just the literal words, you know what I mean?
One of my favourites is from an American novelist, and the quote is, talking about the subject of fame and being famous, fame is a mask that eats into the face. Don't you think that's amazing?
Meaning?
Well, meaning that fame is something that is artificial, that you wear initially, you become famous, but it's ethereal, it's nothing, it's intangible, it's just an artifice. But if you stay famous long enough, you begin to think that that mask you're wearing is really your real face. So that you begin to, you know, think that you are more than you perhaps are. Do you see what I mean? In the way that fame and power can corrupt.
Oh, who said that?
No, it's an American novelist, I forget his name.
Pick another one. Right.
Yeah, let's have a look. Bernard Shaw, he's no slouch.
I think maybe when you take this book of quotations home, Carl, you should maybe just draw up maybe a list of three or four of your favourites and tell them next week.
I want to do Shaw, Wilde. I look at Shakespeare as well. You know, he's.
Are you a fan of Shakespeare?
No.
Go on. What's your problem with it?
Just the way they speak. I can't follow it.
Yeah. Do you like West Side Story?
It's really old as well. I can't relate to it. It's like years and years ago, isn't it? That's why I like Churchill. Because
1940s.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is Shaw. Okay. There are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire. The other is to get it.
Again, how would you see that in your little?
Well, that's one homework then. I'll mark that. That's your homework. You've got to work that out. You've got to tell me what you think of it.
Say again?
Don't ask Suzanne. It's there. Right. There are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire. The other is to get it. Okay? Take that home with you. And we'll be hearing Carl come up with some amazing quotations next week.
Yeah, pick out your favourites.
Now I'd like to play a song for the lovers while he's thinking.
No, I don't think we've got the lovers lined up.
Oh, what have we got?
A bit of hip-hop. It's Hip-Hop Hooray.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, everyone's a big fan. I played something from this last week. It's this new album from Nerd, In Search Of. It's been re-recorded by the lads, I don't know why. And anyway, it's particularly good. We played last week, Things Are Getting Better. This is the one we have played in the past, actually. Bobby James.
Doves, there goes the fear on XFM 104.9. Well, just read that book anyway. This is one of a beautiful, it's Keats, right? What do you think of this? A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness.
See, this is just like how it was at school now. The last couple of weeks have been quite interested in what you've been giving me. Now it's really like...
Okay.
I really don't care.
Now, what about this? Now, I did philosophy, and philosophy is obviously the quest for knowledge. And listen to this, though. This is what Keats came out with. Philosophy will clip an angel's wings. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Don't be constrained by what's, dream a little. You know what I mean? Just go beyond... I don't agree with it, but it's a lovely bit of poetry.
Yes.
Yeah? So you're going to read that for me, are you, Carl? Yeah?
Just pick out five of your favourites.
Yeah.
The ones that mean something to you.
And then next week I'll bring in pictures of animals.
Brilliant.
Okay?
We'll do it.
Okay, and some sweets.
Rick, I've had a word with some of the top brass here. Well, they had a word with me in the corridor. If you remember when
did
we
they
started...
say, what, who are you?
Pretty much, yeah. Oi, four eyes.
yeah.
And, no, they said that, you know, obviously enjoy the show, they love it. And, they're just worried, though, that in the early days when we started the show, you remember, we were a lot more informative. We used to do the film reviews, yeah. So things like the gig guide and stuff
sure,
like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Which we've kind of let
yeah,
go by
the
other way, sorry.
Yeah, so, they want us to bring in that.
Well,
no.
Exactly. So I just
no. The gig guide. I was worried that, funnily enough, the XFM gig guide does not include some of the biggest bands in the world.
Okay, all right.
Or some of the best venues. That's what worried me.
Don't look, Rick. But just do what you're told. Right.
Oh,
there's the gig guide.
Is it got better?
It's got a lot
am
of big
be impressed?
On. You're going to love the gig guide.
I need a bet. If this is going to be pretty
now
impressive.
Let's play the proper jingle.
Okay. Tonight, if you want to... Oh, hey, if you want to see these two bands in a small venue, get down to the Metro Bar on Oxford Street. Doors are at 8 p.m. and tickets are only £6 to see Ten Benson and Beach Buggy. All right? Now, if you missed Long Wave supporting the Strokes at Brixton Academy last night, you can catch them headlining Casino Royale at the Monarch.
Rick, I missed them last night. How much will I be paying for that?
You'll only be paying £5, right? But listen, they're also supported by Shelby and I Remember Nothing.
Brilliant.
Now, people know about the Brixton Academy, but a little-known venue in Brixton is the Windmill. And
okay.
you're going to see three great bands there tonight. Guapo,
okay.
Plonkez, and Mechanical Beatles Never Quite Warm. So, Orange Goblin and Grand Magus play the Garage. And, Diefenbach and Sudden play the Rotar Sessions at Nine Hills Arts Club. So that's the gig guys, the next FM.
What a load of rubbish. I mean, switch off the jingle. Look at this. We've discussed this before, haven't we? Names for bands that will never be anything.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome to the stage Mechanical Beatles Never Quite Warm. Please welcome to the stage Plankwev. Please welcome to the stage Orange Goblin. Oh, goodness me. Look at it.
Oh, God. Orange Goblin. Orange Goblin!
So rubbish!
What's his name? Got a fake tan, hasn't he? That one of his supermarket suite. What's his name?
Dale Winton.
Dale Winton, yeah.
Supporting REM, I Remember Nothing! It's never gonna happen. please, come on people, think.
Hey, here's a band that plays big venues. Doesn't make them better, sure, but this is Radiohead. This is Song for the Lovers and Let Down off OK Computer. This is beautiful. See, a thing of beauty. It's a joy forever. Doesn't that move you at all, Carl? Philosophy will clip an angel's wings.
There was an old lady for Ealing.
Who was putting... Radiohead, Let Down off OK Computer. Apparently we missed a gig on that gig guide. Drip Feed are playing the Rock Garden on the 21st of this month.
Excellent.
So the lead singer just called in for cool. that. He also left a quote with me. Coleridge said of Keats, wasn't it? He's like an archangel, slightly damaged.
Rick, I'm worried we're getting a little bit highbrow.
Do you reckon?
Have you got any knob gags you could do quickly? Because I'm just thinking we're switching. There's a lot of people that are going to be turning off. Currently on Capital FM, Chris Tarrant and Dr. Neil Fox together at last. The partnership
at last,
we've always
they
wanted.
Said it would never happen. Do you know what I'd like to see together? That breakfast DJ, Sarah
Cox.
And who's the dancer? Carl.
Carl. Can't be Carl Cox.
Carl, please. Why are you getting suddenly saying these rude words? We've been reprimanded once.
Don't
Carl,
say
please.
That, and don't say it so aggressively because it sounds like you're saying Cox aggressively.
Come on, we've been reprimanded.
Yeah.
All right. Just don't use language like
that's
that.
It's annoying me.
Come on.
Why is it annoying you?
Because
we're talking about DJs. That's their names.
You try to be clever.
I hardly think that's clever.
You've given them
Yeah, if that's my best attempt at being clever.
I've got rubbish on work this week.
Okay, he's really upset
he's
about
really
this.
Upset.
He was looking forward to animal fat.
You said you were going to bring in that big book, 500
it's
animal
so,
fat.
It's so... I got it off one of those bargain books.
Oh,
I thought it'd be easy, right? Cause but it's too elementary.
No, but that's more useful than that to me.
But it's things like... It's things like the tortoise has a shell to protect it.
That's good.
Yeah, but you know... Because
you thought it was there just to be painted on.
Oh, have you ever peeled a tortoise? They fly, they go about 400 miles an hour. It's to weigh them down because they're the fastest lizards known to man.
Exactly.
Honestly, they run so fast they can go through walls.
Yeah.
And so they're, their shells put on them in the hospital, in the maternity ward, at a very early age, just slow them down. You let a tortoise shout and you won't catch it.
Steve, do you know that turtles can breathe out of the bum?
Turtles can breathe out of their bum? I know someone who can talk out of it, but didn't realise that.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that.
That's all I know. When they go swimming, they can sort of, if they don't want to stick their head out, they can just...
stick their arse out. Yeah.
Why don't they want to stick their head out?
I don't know, maybe they need to be looking for food under the water.
Yeah.
And if they stick their head up to get some air, they might miss something.
Wouldn't it be easier to have an arse that could forage for food? So they could sort of like lounge in the pool like a jacuzzi and they're looking around going, all right, hello, hiya. And meanwhile, its arse is like munching grass.
Yeah,
Wouldn't that be easier?
Bad breath.
Well, I wish I understood what that meant. In all this
it's
hilarity,
a quote, isn't it?
But in all that this hilarity, I'm worried we've forgotten the true meaning of Easter. come on, Rick. You're being frothy and lightweight and a little bit rude. But you know, it's a time for remembering
and chocolate
that someone did die for our sins.
Yeah.
So can we just
be ashamed to disappoint him?
Yeah. Can we just think about that and just take a moment just to consider that?
Yeah, can we do that?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You understand the true meaning of Easter. It's not just about eggs and bunnies. You understand it, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your memory of it? What's your understanding of it, Carl? What's it all about for you?
What do you have to do at school? Do you have to do anything at school?
I think we've got a long weekend off.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What did they call that weekend?
Easter weekend.
Brilliant.
Okay, and what was the reason for that? Why do we have Easter weekend off?
Jesus.
Yeah, but what did he do?
He put himself on the cross.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't put himself on.
No.
Does it mean anything to you? Are you moved by that story?
Again, too long ago for me to sort of...
okay.
To worry about it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if there'd been an Anderson shouter involved...
Yeah.
You'd have been there, wouldn't you? You're not well today, are you, Carl?
Not at all. Don't know what's wrong with me today. I've got a bit of a temperature.
Have you?
Do you know Steve... he's always on the go at me. Last night when we were out with his mates,
They
said he was a bit of a hypochondriac himself.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did they say? What were they saying?
He said, I said, Steve's told me he's not feeling well. Is he alright? You live with him? He said, oh, I don't worry about that.
Really?
So he's always saying that, and I said, that's a bit of a fable. I said, cry wolf.
Yeah, one day you say, I've got a temperature, and they go, oh, I've had the Lemsip, and he'll die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've learnt my lesson.
Yeah. There was one about the boy cried wolf. The moral can surely only be never tell the same lie twice. You know what I mean? Because if he'd have come up with a different one, he'd have kept him going all year, I reckon.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that before.
What are we going to play?
A final tune. We got a bit of suede, haven't we?
Well, it depends.
Let's get a bit of suede in and song for the ladies. Let's go over.
Say the football.
Don't say that. Yeah, give us your song.
What's the football? What's the match? What's this? The gig guide is Long Wave and Guapo and Plankers. What's this? What's the football match? What are the football matches XFM covering?
I don't know. What song would you like?
Track 8.
The Bolton versus Barnsley.
You don't like sport, though, do you? A lot of people who do.
Huh?
A lot of people who do. Right, track 8, what are we going for, then?
We're going for, it's a bit of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite a short song though, Carl. Are you sure?
No, that's cool, yes.
It's okay. You're okay, are you?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the final song,
This lost a lot of energy, this show.
This is it.
I mean, the first hour and 40 minutes, I think, was dynamite. I think the last 10 have been, flagging.
But I mean, Carl, he was full of life, you know, he was answering the questions and stuff, and now you've
and he got, it, he got fed up, he got fed up with the quotations. He didn't like us mentioning, Radio 1 DJs, such as Sarah.
Cox.
And Carl.
Oh, Cox?
Yeah, he didn't like that.
Sorry, everyone.